Good morning. The Bible reading this morning, well, the first one anyway, is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an ear, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Amen.
Thank you so much, Jodie. Just gonna stick that down there. Hey, I do want to say a really warm welcome to everyone who's here and for those joining us online as well. I'm Kathy, I'm one of the pastors here, if we haven't met. It's really good. If you are visiting today, or perhaps you haven't been around in the last 3 weeks, we are doing a series to kick off the year on our vision and values. And so we're up to week four. But before I tell you what the value that we're looking at today is, I have a little exercise for you. So let me introduce you to two people. They look like they've got issues, but they're not. They're not a couple. There's Tess. Tess is the gal there. And if asked about church, Tess would say, "I attend Parramatta Baptist." Jerry, on the other hand, he would say, if he was asked about church, he'd say, "I'm a part of Parramatta Baptist." What I would love you to do is gather with three or four people around you and make sure that no one gets left out of this conversation. So if someone's sitting alone, make sure you invite them in. And just discuss what potentially might be the differences between these two people. It's very subtle, I think, but how might the way they express this reflect the attitude that they have toward their church, the church, and also their part that they have in the church? All right, have a chat. How did you go? Now I'm a little bit hard of hearing, so you're going to need to shout your answers really loud if I'm going to be able to hear them. What do you think might be the difference between Tess and Jerry? Any thoughts? Sorry for those who have English as a second language. I actually wasn't sure how this exercise worked in that subtlety of language. So if that was tricky, I'm sorry about that. What were your thoughts? What are the differences? You're very shy. Right? So potentially a come and get for her. Yeah, okay. Yep, for those, the benefit of those online, Tess potentially is a come and get kind of situation, whereas Jerry is more a giving and receiving, so he's seeing himself as part of this. Anyone have anything to add? David? It's relational. So Jerry's answer is relational. Okay, yep. Leslie? Tess is potentially on the sideline. The guy is potentially more a part of things. Yes, David. Yep, so Tess maybe just has a little bit less commitment. I'm here for now. We'll see. Iris may. Being part of Parramatta Baptist carries a sense of belonging. We could answer an answer, couldn't we, Elizabeth? So not only that you belong, but there's a sense of acceptance and knowing that you have a place here as well. That's brilliant. You have done really well. You can go home now. So the third value of our church that we are unpacking today is that we are relationally committed. We may not do this perfectly, but we understand that we don't just come to church, we are the church. And so it's not because we like this place or even that we like each other, though, you know, that's nice if you do, like I hope that's the case. But rather, we understand that we are relationally committed in this place because of Jesus. And so a few weeks ago, we looked at the fact that Jesus is the head of the church, as Paul talks about it in Ephesians. But he also acknowledges if Jesus is the head, then we, as the church, are his body. And so, you know, just to be really, really clear in that, if you are a follower of Jesus, then you don't just attend Parramatta Baptist. You are part of Christ's body here. So not an isolated cell that just comes and goes, but you are woven in. And so we seek to live out this value of being relationally committed. In 1 Corinthians 12 that Jody just read, it means three things. Firstly, that we welcome all people. You know, the believers in Corinth were from such vastly different backgrounds. I wish that we had a time machine where we could go back and just experience how this felt. But you had in their space together, you had people who had been Jews. You had people who had been Gentiles. Those groups don't connect. You had people who were slaves, you know, or currently are slaves. You had people who were free. Those groups don't connect socially either. And yet, because of Christ, they were all one. They would meet as this body of believers in an extraordinary way that did not happen in their culture. For us at PBC, we understand that there is nothing that can divide those who are in Christ. It doesn't matter what background we've come from, how old or young we are. Whether we're rich or poor, you know, employed, unemployed, whatever circumstances we have come from, whether you're a Taylor Swift fan or not, like, I think that's probably crossing the line. Christ has made us one. And so rather than being standoffish when we gather, or standoffish with people who are different to us, we value and we embrace all people. One of the things that I love about our church is that all people are welcome. This is a community where anyone can find a place of belonging and explore who Jesus is and join us as we seek to learn to live and love like him. And yet I'm really conscious that words of welcome from the front aren't enough. I don't know if you've ever been somewhere where, like, theoretically you're welcome, like it gets spoken from the front, but in reality you haven't felt seen or heard. Steve and I took a sabbatical in 2018 and we visited a bunch of churches. And there was one church particularly that we had gone to Brisbane to visit. And I remember we arrived on our first visit, we arrived with that kind of social nervousness you have when you go to a new place and you don't know anyone. Does anyone have that? I have that very strongly. And somehow the 12 greeters at the door managed not to see us. So we're like, okay, you know. In through the foyer. The foyer was huge and it was brimming with people. Not a single soul gave us eye contact or said hello. So that's okay, it's okay. We get to the auditorium door, we go in. No idea where to sit when you're a newcomer, right? So what do? You sit where you always sit. We just kind of went toward the front and sat in the middle and, you know, I'm comfortable here. And people came down the aisle and we thought, oh, good, you know, someone's going to talk to us. And they came to our row, but they left a polite 8 empty chairs between us and them. Like, I'm not kidding. Some of you are going, oh! It's okay, we survived. The service itself was great. Afterwards, I joined the queue for the ladies, and being such a big place, there was quite a significant queue. So Steve stands alone in the foyer for, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 minutes, and not a soul speaks to him. And so then we make our way out, and honestly, we had been there for 2 hours with us, not a single person having spoken to us. And, you know, I don't want to bag the church too much, because we'd gone there because we knew it had amazing strengths, and we were able to be really genuinely blessed by those strengths on subsequent visits. But I have to say, if we didn't know about those strengths, or if we had been people who were exploring who Jesus is, or people who were very unfamiliar with a church kind of setting, we would not, you know, I just wonder whether we would have felt welcome in that place. We can speak words of welcome and inclusion from the front, but they need to be felt and experienced, right? And so living out this value of being relationally committed requires, like, intentionality on everyone's part. So when we gather, do sit next to the person that you don't know and go and introduce yourself to them. This is not a train situation where you try and have space everywhere. Sit next to one another. Talk with those you don't know. When we pause in our service to speak to one another, look around for who's not being included and shift out of your chair if you need to go and have that conversation to make sure each one gets included in that. When the service finishes, look around the room, not for who you know, but for perhaps a face that you don't know. And it doesn't matter whether they've been here for 5 minutes or whether they've been here for 50 years. Go and introduce yourself. Just make others feel welcome. Embody this relational commitment together. I know that some of us might feel shy or awkward doing that, and I know that as I speak that, some of us go, oh my goodness, that's just so not me. And I just want to name that as my space as well. So, you know, if you have an introvert-extrovert scale, I'm off-the-scale introvert. And I grew up being painfully shy. And so having, I've had to learn to grow into a space where I feel comfortable to go up to people I don't know. And so I just want to encourage anyone who goes, oh man, that just feels awkward for me, I just want to encourage you, it can be something we learn. And for me, I find it really helpful just to have some go-to questions that I just kind of keep tucked away. And so, you know, just to be able to go, hi, have we met? Do you live in the area? How long have you been coming to PBC? I'm giving away all my questions. That's kind of... Everyone I meet is going to go, oh, you're just asking your questions. but it is helpful just to have thought through a few questions and then you just springboard in a conversation from there. I know this is Relationships 101, but I do know that some of us just go, oh, it's just too awkward, so I just won't do it. But we need to embody this value of making all people feel welcome. We want to be a church who values all people from different backgrounds, from different life situations, different personalities, different ages, different nationalities. This is a community that is meant to look like heaven. 1 Corinthians 12 says we're all one in Christ. And so let's embody that truth by making it felt by how we interact. Well, the second way that we express relational commitment in 1 Corinthians 12 is by the way we honour those who lack dignity or those who are vulnerable. And a bunch of things in life can cause us to be vulnerable. It might be our age, or it could be mental health or physical health at times. It could be just the background that we've come from. Paul says some parts of the body that seem weakest or least important are actually the most necessary. He says God has put the body together such that extra honour and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. And so at PBC, there's some really simple ways that you can join us to honour those who may be vulnerable. So if someone comes in needing space for a wheelchair or a walker or a pram, like, just notice that and go out of your way to make space for them so they're not feeling like they're not quite sure and they might need to sit up against the back wall. If you are able-bodied, like, park in the parks that are furthest away and allow room for those who might struggle a bit to actually get into the building. If you see someone who might benefit from having like one of those soft chairs with arms, like, don't assume that they would, because that might just insult them, but ask whether that would be helpful and offer to fetch them one. Go out of your way to speak with those who are vulnerable. You know, in our large crowd, children are actually vulnerable. And so go out of our way to make them feel welcome. And if they're doing crazy runarounds because it's that time of the day and they've lost the plot, like, just be patient in that space with them. Just be kind. If you know, there are those who are neurodiverse, like, just offer that extra little bit of understanding. There may be reasons for what we're seeing in the behaviour that we observe. If we're chatting with someone who's older, like, just offer, would it be more comfortable for you if we sat down while we chatted? For those who are hearing impaired, and we do have some in our congregation, like, face them when you're talking with them so they can at least read your lips. For those who are vision impaired, my vision impaired friend taught me that it's really helpful for her when we like actually just say who we are when we begin a conversation, because she sometimes is left wondering, going, oh, no, just feign friendliness here, I'm just not quite sure who I'm speaking with, right? There are just so many ways that we can just honour those who are vulnerable in our midst. And I just want us to be like really creative and thoughtful in how can we do this so that welcome is felt. And can I just say, on behalf of our church community, for those who are vision or hearing impaired, or those who are neurodiverse, those who are physically challenged, or even just carry some mental illness that just makes you feel like you're an outsider at times. For those who are vulnerable because of your age or your health, I just want to say that we love having you part of Parramatta Baptist. We value what you bring. And thank you for patiently teaching us just what it means to have you feel welcome and able to participate fully in this community. We want to keep working at that. Well, the third way that we express our relational commitment in 1 Corinthians 12 is that we value the unique contribution that each person makes, acknowledging that we do each play different parts. And it's not that some parts are more important than others. All are important. And so no matter what your gift is or what role you play, whether it's up the front or behind the scenes, we value what you bring. And we also value and assist and encourage one another. So, you know, just because I've preached a sermon doesn't exclude me from when I walk past the kitchen to look in and go, oh my goodness, Robin's cleaning up alone, let me just duck in there and give her a hand. You know, we just kind of operate that way as a community, where it doesn't matter what our role is, we just jump in and assist one another in whatever is needed. And being different parts of the body isn't just reflected in our roles, but it's also in the different personalities that we have and the different strengths that we have as well. Now, we are wired differently, and I think we know this every time we sit in a small group or a meeting, you know, and you're just kind of so aware of, oh, goodness, they see things so differently to me. And that is so important, isn't it? That we actually have people in our life who do see things differently. And so being able to be fully present in that place, to appreciate the views of one another, I think gives us richer insight. There's so much more that we could unpack from 1 Corinthians 12, but we're going to come back to that in a few months. But for now, just as we continue to think about what it means for us to be relationally committed, I want to get you to do another exercise. So you might resume the group that you were in if you're comfortable in that group. And I'm going to get someone from each group to go and grab a piece of paper and also a writing implement as well. And on this piece of paper, it just has a simple question. So if you were to talk to another person about PBC who doesn't come to the church, and you were talking about this value, like, in our church, being relationally committed means that we, that's the question that you're going to answer in your group. In our church, being relationally committed means that, so you're trying to describe how we actually do things in our church. So that's what you're going to do. I would love you, for whoever grabs the writing, or appoint a scribe in your group, write some things down. We're going to put, you can see the first service already put theirs up on the wall, so don't just doodle on your paper. Be sure to engage this exercise. If you're at home, you might want to jot some things down. If you're watching this with others, you can talk about it together at this point as well. So yeah, grab that and have a brainstorm together. And it's not just reiterating the answers that I just gave. Think broad and vast. All right. I am sure that you came up with some absolutely brilliant answers. And what I'm going to invite you to do at the end is to take this little sheet, and there's some sticky tape up on the back glass panels, and I'd love you to stick that. We might move across to the doors that open out, stick it up there, or if you can reach up high, Adrian will stick it up high for you, or if you're a dwarf, you can stick it down below. But we want to put these up, and I encourage you to read what other people have said as well. I think this creates a little bit of a mosaic of what it is for us, how we understand that we are relationally committed. As I was thinking about what it means for us to be relationally committed, I spent some time pondering this little passage in Romans 12, and so I want to invite Jodie to come and read that to us.
So Romans chapter 12, and reading from verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the sight of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone.
Thank you, Jodie. You know, when in our NIV, I think it talks about love must be sincere as the first word. But actually, in the original Greek that this was written in, the phrase was actually the sincere love. So it was almost like this was acting as a title for like the quality of love that we are to have among ourselves as a body of believers, which I think is brilliant. And so then he jumps into it, and he talks about, and I love that it's sincere love, because I think it's really easy to feign, you know, kind of niceness, and we call that love, whereas this is actually talking about really something that's very authentic, which I think at our heart of hearts, all of us crave for, and I think in our wider community, people just crave for authentic. So Paul goes on to talk about being devoted to one another in brotherly love. And so in the sincere love, he's saying agape love, which is a self-sacrificing kind of love, the kind of love that Jesus has. And then he's saying be devoted in brotherly love, which is the word filio, which is like family kind of love. And I love that he says be devoted there, because I think family can be really, it can be the greatest joy and also the greatest challenge at times as well, yeah? And so when we're talking about family, we're talking about family of church here. And so we know that there can be pain and disappointments that come with family. There can be hurt at times. But Paul is saying be devoted. So don't just treat it lightly, you know, like, oh my goodness, you know, just someone's crossed the line, I'm out. But rather this sense of devotion says, I will walk in this place through thick and thin. I am committed. And because I'm committed, I will commit myself to stay in it and to resolve and to allow relationships. Because when relationships do get hard, the way that they grow richer is by going through the hard, not by us exiting when it's hard. And so I really love this sense of, like, we're devoted. We're going to walk in the good times and in the hard times together. There's a guy called Andy Andrews. He says, when confronted with a challenge, the committed heart will search for a solution, but the undecided heart will search for an escape. Isn't that true? Paul also calls us to be humble, so to honour others above ourselves. And, you know, I love that we are a church where we have a culture of honouring one another rather than a culture of criticism. I love that we don't have ministry superstars, but that everyone has a go. I love that whilst we do our best, that people aren't sacrificed on the altar of excellence. I love that in this place, imperfect people have a place, because all of us in humility recognise that we are all imperfect. I carry cracks that don't resemble Christ, and we each do. And so we're not holding the standard for others of going, you have to be perfect. No, I know I'm not. But rather, it's okay to be imperfect in this place. We are all seeking to become who Christ has made us to be, and we're not there yet, but we're still journeying. In a similar vein, Paul says, keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. And so we don't serve begrudgingly. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when life has too much on my plate, it's easier to tip. That's how I know when life has too much on the plate, because I tip into grumble. And so, you know, it's carrying this sense of We're going to remember that we're serving God and we're serving one another, and we're going to do this with a loving heart. And so I'm not just like, oh, I've got to pick up the toilet paper off the floor again in the bathroom, or I've got to, you know, get up really early to come and be part of the worship team, or I've got to, you know, clean up after lunch in the park, or whatever it might be. You know, there's this sense, and I think for all of us at times, just needing to keep ourselves in check and just remind ourselves, I'm doing this because I love the people in this body, and I love God. So I'm going to do this in a way that actually lives this out. Paul also says this sincere love is generous. And, you know, we share what we have. We practice hospitality. And by that, I'm not just saying we gather people around a table, but there's a hospitality of heart. We're going to speak more about that in term two. Being relationally committed also means that we show empathy. And so empathy in its true like definition is really about coming alongside one another when we, you know, when someone's a bit fragile in their space, just to be able to come alongside them. And, you know, I know that sometimes we ourselves feel really stretched and we feel unable to come alongside any more people. And it's those times where we need to go back to Jesus and to lean into him. And then when we're in a space where we can, we come back and we come alongside. We're empathic with one another once again. We're looking out for those who are doing it tough, and we're reaching out and encouraging and being alongside. But we're constantly going back into Jesus, leaning back into him, gaining what we need, then coming alongside, back into Jesus, back alongside, otherwise we burn out. And finally, Paul says being relationally committed means that we overcome evil with good. We bless those who speak ill of us. We forgive and resolve differences as far as it is possible. We make every effort to live in harmony. Just want to say, putting my safe church hat on for a moment, like there may be times where someone has behaved toward you in a way where you just go, actually, this is not okay, and I need to speak to the safe church team. Like, by all means, do that. But can I just say, in most of the time in our church family, most of the time when we do get hurt or put offside, we actually need to just work out, pray into that space and go, Lord, how can I move in the opposite spirit to what has happened to me here? How can I bless? How can I just pray for this person who I'm not sure where they're coming from or why that's happened, but I'll just pray for them in that. And we move in that place of being able to forgive one another, knowing those cracks that we all carry, and knowing that sometimes with those cracks things seep out that shouldn't. So, coming back full circle to our third value, we began this series a few weeks ago saying values really are to influence what we do and how we do it. And so because we are Christ's body, we are relationally committed. And that is how we will do life together as a church. So as we finish, I'd just love you to take a few minutes just to talk with the Lord about just your relational commitment within this body. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself in this body of Christ here at PBC? How does it shape what you do? And are there one or two things that you might do going into the future that just might embody this value just even more so than you currently do? So just take a few moments to reflect. Jesus, I want to thank you that you have made us a body. You have woven us together in you. And Lord God, I want to thank you that because of that, every single person in this room belongs. And Lord God, I want to thank you that we each then get to be alongside one another and show honour and express sincere love. To reach out in the ways that we are able, to make others feel welcome, to make all people feel welcome. Lord God, I believe that there is no other place in society that actually feels like when the church operates at its best. And so, Lord God, we want to commit ourselves afresh to be your body. God, to embody this sincere love well. Lord, would you help us to die to self? Would you help us to resolve differences? God, I pray that you would help us overcome that which may be the reason for why we put distance. Lord, maybe it's our own inner narratives or our fears, our shyness, our hesitations. Oh God, I just pray that we would surrender them to you, that we might, when we come here, that we might show up in every way ready and willing to be part of the body here in all that means. Amen.